Good evening, everyone. We thank you for joining us tonight for the evening gospel service. We're going to invite you to sing together as our opening hymn 287. Depth of mercy can there be, mercy still reserved for me. Can my God his wrath forbear, and me the chief of sinners spare. Lovely gospel hymn penned by Charles Wesley. And we'll ask you to stand as we sing together, please. Let's just bow before the Lord together in the attitude of prayer. We'll lift our hearts to Him. Heavenly Father, we approach Thee at the throne of grace. Thank You for Your mercy that enables us to draw nigh to Thee. We come, Father, by the merit, the value of our Saviour's precious blood. We thank You for each one in the meeting tonight. We can say that they're cleansed and washed in that blood. And Father, it is our prayer that all that are gathered here, all in this congregation, all in our families, would have that testimony that they're saved by the precious blood of Christ. We want to pray, Father, that we would know the Lord is in the midst tonight. Come and stand amongst us in Thy risen power. Make this time of worship to be an hallowed hour. We ask Thee, Father, to draw near to each one of us. Pray that all that are in the meeting will know the Lord is here, know the Lord is nigh and at their side. I want to thank You, Father, that even at this summertime on the Sabbath evening, that the doors of Your house are opened. We thank You for this gospel service, an opportunity for all in this city and this community to come in and to worship God and to hear the word of God proclaimed, the gospel of God's redeeming grace. Our prayer, Father, is that there will be a greater interest in this city and again in this land in the preaching of your word. Lord, we're saddened and we're grieved, we're concerned by the great apathy that there is all around to the things of God. Even the desecration of this thy day, this day set aside for the Lord. We ask, Father, that our land might again remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We want to pray that you would move again in this city. We thank you, Father, for the records and the story of God's movings and God's power and blessing in this city in former times. And we ask thee to come, Father, once more. Come by your mighty power. We're encouraged by that lovely statement in your word, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We're glad, Father, that we approach in prayer tonight the one who is the unchanging Christ. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And Lord, that encourages us to know that what you did before, you're able to repeat, you're able to do again, you're able to come and revive us again. And Lord, we ask thee to mould our lives, shape us, so that we're in that place, even with thee, where you can bless us, where you can use us. We want to be vessels. And Lord, we want to be very instruments in your hand, channels of blessing to this congregation, to this community, to this city. We ask, Father, for an advancing of the work of God, even in these very difficult days when the tide is going out. We pray earnestly that we would see this work progress. We want to pray, Father, that you'll be pleased to add to this work. May it please thee to increase, to multiply, even the number of the disciples here. We thank you for prayer answered already. We thank you for encouragements given. We thank you, Father, that there's been very clear and definite answers to the prayers and petitions of your people here. How that encourages us to pray on and to seek thee further. And Lord, we plead once more just for the work here that you'll add others. We think even of this summertime. May you bring visitors, guide their footsteps to this place. As we think forward a few weeks, even until the beginning of the new season in September, we want to pray you'll send new families and send new children to the Sunday school and to the bright hours, to the youth fellowship, even to the church services. Lord, we plead that there will be progress and advancement in the work of God here. We ask you to hear these are earnest cries. Remember, Father, the building work that's taking place on the church grounds and property just at this time. We ask you to prosper that work. We commit it, Father, into your hands, those that are responsible for it. Give them wisdom, we pray of thee. And Lord, watch over them. We ask for their safety. We ask for the safety of all that will be on the church property while the work is taking place. We pray that that work will be prospered, and we pray that it will be for the betterment, the benefit of the church here, for the testimony of the gospel in this place. We remember too the planning application just before the authorities at this time. We pray you'll prosper that application. We ask there would be no objections to it. We pray, Father, that you'll grant us favour, and not just before the people, but before the planners, those in positions of authority. And we ask, Lord, that our committee would know wisdom and guidance in these days. We pray that they might be like the men of Issachar in the scriptures, men with an understanding of the times, that know what Israel ought to do. We pray, Father, for our land, for our government, the government, Father, here in our province, the government even there in Westminster. Lord, we remember you're the sovereign God, regardless of who's in power here in our province and who's in Downing Street, even who's in the White House in America. We know that God is still on the throne, that you're the sovereign Lord of all the universe. You're the maker and the creator of all things. You're the one that works all things after the counsel of your own will, that you're unfolding, Father, your great plans and purposes towards the consummation of this age, whenever our Saviour comes again. We pray, give us a sight of your greatness, even that vision that your servant Isaiah had those many years ago, when the Bible says that he saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Lord, give to us that vision, even as we read and meditate upon your word. We pray that we'll not be taken up with the things of this world, the events, and even the great personalities of the days in which we live. Our prayer is that we might see the Lord, even in all his glory. And Lord, we know from your word that you're able to use even wicked rulers to fulfill your purposes. Remember that you spoke of Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. And Lord, we pray that even those in power in this land, even though they've no love or interest in the things of God, we pray that you might use them. We pray that you'll overrule in decisions that will be made in the places of authority. You've told us we're to pray for kings and all in authority. And the reason we're to pray is that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Saviour. So we pray, Lord, overrule in the laws that will be enacted, the laws that will be brought into force in this land of ours. We pray that you will guide them even to bring about laws that are good and righteous, laws that are planned to be brought into force. We pray that you would overrule that those laws are no longer considered, no longer made law in this land of ours. And Lord, we ask that our land again would live by the law of God. We ask thee that it would please thee, Father, even to lead our nation again to such a time and to such days of blessing. Bless this meeting tonight. May the power of God be upon us. We confess our need, Father. Fill us tonight with the Holy Ghost and with power. Bless the preaching of your word. May it go forth in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit, even to the saving of souls, to the saving of the lost. We thought, Father, this morning of that relationship, especially between husband and wife. Pray you'll bless that message even to all of our hearts and help us to consider those things very carefully, the importance of them. But we think, Father, of that greatest and most important relationship, that relationship with Christ, our Saviour. And we pray, Father, that it will be true of all in this meeting, that they'll be able to say that they're in Christ and that they're saved by God's grace. Answer these, our prayers and cries, and bless the remainder of the meeting and guide us, Father, through it. And we pray that all we do tonight will be to your glory, and our Saviour might have the preeminent place. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 100, please. We're going to sing Anne Ross Cousins' lovely hymn, O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head. Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. We'll sing verses 1 and 2 and 4 and 5. We'll leave out the middle verse, the verse 3. We'll remain seated and we're singing it to the lovely tune, the familiar tune, Rowntree. So Mrs. Ross Cousins' hymn, please. Take the scriptures, please. We're turning to the book of Acts, to the 16th chapter. To that familiar story, just of the Philippian jailer. Acts chapter 16. Just towards the middle of the chapter, the verse 19, we're going to commence at. Acts chapter 16, verse 19. Let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts tonight. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace onto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. We'll just end there, the 34th verse, and we pray for the Lord to follow with his blessing, that he'll bless the reading of his word to every heart. We welcome you to the evening gospel service here in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. Thankful for your presence with us. We're glad to see all that have been able to join with us. If you're visiting in the service, we appreciate your presence with us tonight. I pray that you'll be blessed by this meeting. We're glad to see the children and the young people who have come along to the service this evening. We want to thank you for your presence with us. And we welcome those that are watching the service on the live stream. We're glad you've joined us. If you're from the city or the area, we'd be very happy to welcome you along to some of the services here in the Lord's house in the weeks that lie ahead. Remember the activities, the meetings in the will of the Lord for the incoming week. Tomorrow evening is the commencement of the Holiday Bible Club here at the church. It'll run each night from Monday through to Friday, 6:30 to 8:00 each night. And Miss Joyce Walsh will be here to conduct the meetings, to bring the messages, the stories to the children night by night. There is copies of the Rota for all of the meetings in the porch, a copy for all of the helpers, all the workers. If you haven't already received one or taken one, we encourage you to do that as you leave the meeting tonight. Remember too, the flyers, there's still a few of those available. Please take those and give them out. Make the meetings as widely known as possible. We're thankful to all that came along on Monday night to help with the outreach, the distribution of the flyers, the invitations through the city. The evening wasn't so favourable, but we're thankful to all that came and that faced and worked on through the elements, the wet evening. Your work is very much appreciated, and we pray that the Lord will bless it, and it'll result in many children, even many new children, coming along to the meetings this week. We thank our sister Andrea and all that have helped for her labours in leading and arranging the meetings, and all that have put down their name on the list to get involved and to be a worker at the Holiday Bible Club. It's very encouraging to see so many helping out, and the team spirit, the team work amongst the congregation. May the Lord bless you all and encourage you in your labours. Just remind you again, I'll be on holiday for 3 weeks from this coming Tuesday in the will of the Lord until the Thursday, the 22nd of August. We'll be travelling out to Calgary in Canada to help cover the pulpit there for the next 3 weeks, preaching at the Lord's Day services, the midweek meetings as well, and helping with any other emergencies that arise, some essential visitation. Remember, the pulpit there is vacant since last springtime, last March, and a number of men have been going out or been sent out from the province here over this summer period to help supply the pulpit and encourage the congregation. There is that group out from the Macrafell Church in Williams Lake, doing the Holiday Bible Club and some practical work in the church too. And they'll be making their way home towards the end of this week. They'll be coming down to Calgary. The normal midweek night there is Tuesday, but they've rearranged that this week for Wednesday, just to have those young people present and to take part in the service. So we do value your prayers for the trip and the ministry there. And as is always the case, if you need pastoral help or care during the period that we're away, contact one of the elders and they will be able to assist you and make any arrangements if that is necessary. Wednesday at 8 is the midweek service. The preacher is our brother Gregory Gibson. Greg is a fourth year student, just finished his studies in the college, waiting to graduate in September. Remember those students who have finished, that the Lord will direct them. And remember, although it is the Holiday Bible Club, we encourage you to come along and be present. Just make that special effort, even if you're a wee bit late, if you've other things to attend to. First of all, we encourage you to encourage our brother by your presence. Next Lord's Day, the 4th of August, services 11:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m. The preacher at the morning service is the Reverend Philip Kyle, a member of our Mourne Church in Kilkeel. There will be no communion service next Lord's Day, as some preparations will be taking place after the morning service for the evening meeting next Sabbath day. That evening service will be the parents' night for the Holiday Bible Club. Keep that in mind. Encourage others, even of your family, to come along. The meeting will be led by our brother, Mr. Billy McCrum. The children will take part in the service, and the speaker will be Miss Walsh. She'll bring the closing message of the week to the boys and girls. There will be some prizes given out as well, and supper and fellowship for everybody afterwards. So we do ask the ladies if you can please help in the provision of the food. And we emphasise just a half hour of prayer before both of those meetings. The next outreach is on Tuesday the 6th of August. That's Tuesday week. The outreach team will be working down in Rich Hill, and they will be meeting that evening at the Presbyterian Church in Rich Hill at 7:30. The Enniskillen Convention has started today continues through this week, every night at 8. The preachers are the Reverend Samuel Murray, our current moderator, two former moderators, the Reverend John Armstrong and the Reverend Thomas Murray. There are some cards there in the porch with all of the details, so if you can, if you're able, do go down and encourage them and give them some support. The Ballymagurney Church will have their morning service broadcast live on Radio Ulster next Sunday morning. The service or the broadcast will commence just after the 10 o'clock news, so about 3 minutes or so after 10. Make that known and encourage others to listen to it as well. Pray for the Reverend Patterson, all involved in arranging that, and our brother especially, as he will speak, that I know the Lord's help and the Lord will bless the broadcast. Remember the mission team that went out to Spain, left yesterday, gone to Corticas Nuevas, where the Reverend Boyd formerly ministered, and our sister Joy laboured for a number of years as well. They're there with the Reverend Alejandro Bernabeu and the congregation. The team is led by Mr. Colin Maxwell, one of our home missionaries. Pray for them as they do the Holiday Bible Club and also some outreach in the villages there round about. And the two children's camps run by the board over at Moy Allen, the first of those starts tomorrow, and then the second is the following week, and Miss Walsh will be involved in those children's camps as well. Just a wee update on those that are unwell. We're glad our sister Lily got home, was to get home this afternoon. Wallace phoned just at lunchtime to say that they had received the phone call, so they were waiting just on the usual preparations and paperwork and so forth to be processed, so we trust that that has taken place just at this stage. She's certainly expecting to be home today. Remember Brother Wallace too, just at this time. Ruth McAree got home on Friday. We're very glad of that, making very good progress. That's a real answer to prayer. And remember George too, pray for his recovery from that injury that he sustained to his arm just during the past week. Remember all of these folk, particularly just in your prayers. Remember finally just that the building work continues this week, the work on the maintenance and improvements. They'll be lifting the flags along the back of the church here, the path right along the back, and they'll be starting the work on the low wall and the pavers in that area, God willing, a little later in the week. So that means that that path will be out of use for at least the next two Lord's days, the 4th and the 11th of August. So to get into the church, if you park at the back, you will need to come around this way or park out in the front car park. Remember, this time of the year with the holidays, it is a little slacker, so that'll make it a wee bit easier. Just park at the front and make your way over to the door. We're sorry for any inconvenience that will cause over these next few weeks. Just bear with us. The improvements will be of a great benefit, especially the ramp and so on. Going out into the back car park will make it easier for folk to access the church from there. And do continue to pray for the Lord to prosper that workplace. We'll sing another hymn together, the hymn 312. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. So 312, please, we'll stand as we sing. We're just going to bow together in prayer. The closing words of that final verse. For me his precious blood he shed. For me his life he gave. We can sing the words so easily and quickly. We don't consider, don't take in the vast depth of meaning within them. May the Lord touch our hearts afresh through that great truth. For me, his precious blood he shed. And for me, his life he gave. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for the sacrifice of Calvary. We thank you for that vicarious, substitutionary death of our Saviour. We rejoice that we can say tonight that he died for me, my Lord and King. Lord, we ask that that will be so of all here tonight. Pray that every person at the close of this meeting, when they go through the doors of the church, will have a testimony to God's saving and redeeming grace. We commit the remainder of the meeting into your hands. We have known your help already. We pray that that might continue even in a fuller, greater measure. We pray, Father, for the fullness of your Spirit tonight, for utterance to be given in the preaching of the gospel. Let it not just be another meeting. Let it not just be another gospel service, another gospel sermon. Give us a passion and a burden for souls. Give us a desire, Father, to be used in a greater measure in the winning of souls. We pray this place will be a soul-saving shop. We ask thee earnestly tonight, Father, and unitedly, that you'll give us souls through the preaching of the gospel here, that our gospel services will be fruitful. We want to pray, Father, that there'll be times of soul winning, times of ingathering of precious souls. We ask thee, Father, to lead us into those days of God's power and those days of God's blessing. Hear our cries, be with us now, and Lord, grant us in a very definite way the touch of God upon the remainder of this meeting. We ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. We're turning to Acts chapter 16. We're going to take as our text this evening those words of verses 30 and 31, the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, the 30th and the 31st verses, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The theme tonight, and it's the question that I want to pose at the very commencement of the service, or the commencement of the message, is the question, is your soul saved? I'm not asking you tonight, are you baptized? Or are you catechized? And those things are important. They have their place in the life of the church and in the work of God. The question we're asking you tonight is much more important. It is the question, have you the experience of God's salvation? The reality, men and women, is there is nothing in this world that is more important than that. And I want to stress that, impress it upon your hearts as best we can, with all the help that God shall give us. Men and women, the most important thing in this world and in this life is to know beyond doubt that it is well with your soul, that you are ready for death, and you're ready for eternity whenever the summons should come. I make it clear to you tonight that the word saved is a good biblical word, good biblical term. It's used over 50 times in the New Testament scriptures alone. So here is a word, and here, men and women, is an experience that is at the very heart of the message of the Bible, and is at the very heart of the message of the gospel. And the fact is, if God speaks so clearly, so repeatedly about this matter, then we need to listen And we need to listen very carefully. We need to pay attention to what the Lord has to say to us. We read in this chapter the story of the Philippian jailer. This is the story of the conversion of the jailer. It is the story of a man who got saved by the grace of God. And he got saved in the middle of the night. He got saved in the middle of the night under the prison ministry of Paul and Silas. And we're going to take a closer look at this story. And as we do, men and women, we want to stress to you the importance, the absolute importance of being saved. That is the clear message of this passage. And as we consider the details of the story, what we want you to do tonight is to ask yourself, are you saved? It's good to hear and to read of others being saved. We rejoice in that. What a blessing. But we want to ask tonight, are you saved? Is that your experience? Is that your testimony? Think first of all of the meaning of being saved. Verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That word saved means to be rescued, to be delivered. You think of a person drowning in the sea. They're in danger. And they need to be saved. They need to be rescued. But the same is true of the sinner. They need to be rescued as well, but from a far greater danger. You might ask, what do I need to be saved or rescued from? Well, you need to be saved from the power of sin in your life. Every sinner in their natural, unconverted condition is a slave to sin. The Bible makes that very clear. John says in his gospel, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Maybe you've never realized that, never seen that before. Here's your condition if you're still unsaved. You're a slave to sin. Why do you live as you do? Well, because you're a slave to sin and the sinful habits. But when a person gets saved, they are delivered. They're delivered from sin's power in their life. Paul in the book of Romans, his great exposition of the gospel in the book of Romans, he said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Jesus Christ breaks the power of sin in your life. You come to him, he will deliver you. He will set you free. He will set you free from sin's bondage. So what a mercy. What a blessing, men and women, that is. But there's something else, something more. Being saved also means being saved from the penalty of sin. One of those first memory verses we were taught as children. The wages of sin is death. Here's the penalty for sin. It is death. How solemn that is. Not just physical death, in other words, the death of the body, but also eternal death, which includes your soul. So we must warn you this evening, men and women, that those who die unsaved, they will spend eternity in hell. They will spend eternity, body and soul, in the lake of fire. That is what eternal death is. Think of John 3:16, that lovely verse. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Do you see that tonight? Do you see your condition? Do you see your danger? If you're out of Christ, you are perishing now. And you're in danger of perishing forever in a lost eternity. But the good news of the gospel is this. You don't have to go to hell. Because when a person gets saved, when they receive Christ as their Savior, they are rescued, they're delivered from going to hell. Is that your experience? Are you delivered tonight? Delivered from a lost eternity? Are you delivered from perishing eternally? Are you delivered from the wrath to come? Delivered from the penalty for sin? In the light of these truths, men and women, I want to ask you tonight, are you saved? Ponder that carefully. Have you been delivered from sin's power in your life? delivered from a lost eternity. There may be other members of your family that are saved, and you've been blessed and encouraged to hear of that. But what of you? Are you saved tonight? The meaning of being saved. Think in the second place of the must of being saved. The jailer asked in verse 30, what must I do to be saved? It wasn't what may I do or what might I do. It was what must I do. The word must there literally means what is necessary for me to do to be saved. This man knew he needed to be saved. And he knew at that moment it was something that was absolutely necessary. There was no doubt in his mind that day that being saved was something that was vital. And I want to impress that truth, men and women, upon all who are here this evening without Christ, all who are still unsaved. The reality is, you need to be saved. There's nothing in this life, nothing in this world, that you need more than being saved. Peter, preaching in Jerusalem, said, we must be saved. So the message is clear. What we're talking about tonight is an imperative. It is something that is a must. If you ever hope to be in heaven, then it is absolutely necessary for you to be saved. This is something that cannot be done without. But you will ask, why is it necessary for me to be saved? Well, the answer is because you're a sinner. There's a lot of talk today in society about equality. Well, here, men and women, is the ultimate equality. Here's the great equalizer. The great equalizer of society and of mankind. The fact is, we are all sinners. Paul said, again in that epistle to the Romans, there is no difference. All have sinned. All the world is guilty before God. You may be a decent citizen. You might be a moral person. You might be a churchgoer. And all of that is good and commendable. But you're still a sinner. And you need to recognize that. You need to accept that fact tonight. And it is because of your sin that you cannot enter heaven as you are. The book of the Revelation teaches there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. So you're in danger of hell tonight. You're in danger of perishing. You need to be saved. It's necessary for you to be saved because of your sin. It's your sin that's taking you to a lost eternity. So we want to urge you, don't be careless. Don't be careless with your soul. Do you realize, you sit in the gospel service tonight, how vital this matter is? Do you realize, can you see, that unless you're saved, you will never, let me just underline that, unless you are saved, you will never be in heaven. The must of being saved. The third thing we'll emphasize is the method of being saved. Paul said to the jailer in response to his question, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So all that is required for you to be saved is belief or faith in Jesus Christ. Money, works, religion, none of those things are required. Because none of those things can save you. None of those things can save your soul. All that is required is faith alone in Jesus Christ. Not a mere intellectual believing of the facts of who Christ was or what he did. No, believe means much more than that. Believe means to put your trust completely in him for your soul's salvation. And if you want to be saved today, then you need to put your trust not in yourself, not in the minister, not in some religious leader. You must trust completely and only in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his sacrifice, his once for all sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary. There's an old gospel hymn we sometimes sing that says, Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. And I want to urge you to do that. You've lingered and halted and held back long enough. Only trust him now. I want to urge you to do that in the service tonight. There's lovely acrostic on the word faith. Remember in acrostics when you take the letters of a word and from those letters form from each of them another word. And there's a lovely acrostic for the word faith that explains very clearly what it means to trust Christ. Forsaking all, I trust him. And that's what you must do tonight. You must forsake everything and trust in nothing else and in no one else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there someone in the meeting this evening? Is there someone listening to this broadcast? And you're asking the question that the jailer asked those many years ago, what must I do to be saved? Well, men and women, the answer is still the same. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see the certainty of it? Put your trust in the finished work of the Son of God, and you will be saved. You will be saved for all of God's great eternity. There's one other thing I'll emphasize. That's the mistake about being saved. I want to sound a word of warning at the close of the gospel message, the gospel meeting tonight. Look at verse 33. It says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. The Philippian jailer got saved immediately. He got saved without delay. He got saved there at midnight, just a little afterwards, in the middle of the night. He got saved just standing outside the jail there in Philippi. It says that he did it straightway, the same hour of the night. So this jailer got saved immediately. If we were to ask men and women, when is the time for you to get saved? Well, the answer is now. Why do we impress upon you the need to be saved now? Because now is the only time that you are sure of. Pray that you might see that tonight. Many people say there's plenty of time. Plenty of time to be saved. There's no hurry. That's a mistake, men and women. In fact, we'd have to put it stronger. It's a fatal mistake that especially young people make. The reality is you do not have plenty of time. Think of the warnings clearly given, very strongly, powerfully given in the Word of God. The book of Proverbs said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The solemn reality is, you don't know. Just take that in. You don't know if you'll even live to see tomorrow. Live to see tomorrow morning dawn. You dare not put off getting saved until tomorrow. Because tomorrow, you could be in eternity. Tomorrow you could be dead and gone from this world, from this scene of time. In the book of Genesis, there is another warning. God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That means that even if you do live to see tomorrow, there is no guarantee, men and women, that the door of salvation will still be open to you. There's no guarantee that the Spirit of God will still be speaking to you. The Spirit may be speaking to you today. If that is the case, what a mercy. Recognize that, acknowledge that. What a mercy that the Spirit is still speaking and striving in your life and on your heart. But I point out to you that this could be the last day. God can, God does withdraw his Spirit. And if that was to happen in your life, The result of that, men and women, would be that you could never be saved. You cannot be saved when you want. You can only be saved when the Spirit of God is working, when the Spirit of God is moving in your heart and life. So if God withdraws His Spirit from you, you could never be saved. Regardless of how long you would live after this day or after this gospel meeting, even should you live to be the age of Methuselah, that is not possible, of course, but even if you did live so long, there would still be no hope for you to be saved. Men and women, it is the devil who says to you to wait. It is the devil that says to you, put it off. There's plenty of time to think about that in the future. You ask, how do I know that that is the voice of the devil that's saying those things and whispering them in my ear? Well, I know it for this reason. Because God in His Word says something entirely different. God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next Sunday night, not next week, not next month, not when you're older, not some more convenient season. Now is the day of salvation. The book of Hebrews states, today, if you will, hear His voice. Harden not your hearts. Not tomorrow. He says today. So men and women, the right time, the best time, the only time, in fact, God's time for you to be saved is now. So I want to urge upon you, don't wait. Don't even wait another moment. In fact, you don't even have to wait until the meeting closes. You can be saved where you are, in the seat where you sit. All you have to do is lift your heart to God in prayer. Cry out for mercy. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you call out for mercy, for salvation, for forgiveness, if you do it now sincerely and earnestly, the Bible says that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. God will receive you and forgive your sins. So you need to be saved now. Don't wait another moment. That, men and women, is a mistake. And it is a mistake that could damn your soul. Damn your soul forever and forever. Just as we close, let me bring you back to the question that we posed at the beginning. Let me ask you again, is your soul saved? Is it well with your soul this Sabbath night? If you have to answer, no, I'm not saved, if you have to acknowledge that you're still unsaved, then listen carefully again to the words of our text as we finish the message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Come tonight. Come just now. Come just as you are. Come and put your trust in Him. Completely and only put your trust in Him for the saving of your soul. May the Lord bless His word and our prayers that He might be pleased to use it, even to speak to hearts and save souls in this service tonight. 256. Think of the question that is asked. Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? We're going to stand. We'll sing verses 1, 2 and 4. We'll leave out the third. So 1, 2 and 4, and we'll rise and sing, please. Heavenly Father, we lift our hearts to Thee to thank You for the service tonight. We thank You for the Spirit in the meeting. We thank You, Father, for the highway for the Word of God. We praise Thee for the good news of the Gospel. We thank You, Father, for Your great love and mercy to us. We thank You for Your great plan of redemption. We praise Thee for making that plan known to us, blessing us with Your Word, living in the land where the Gospel is freely preached. We ask You, Lord, to use the message tonight to those that have heard it here in the church and those that have heard it and will hear it, even across the internet. We ask, Father, that there will be souls saved following this service tonight. You said it pleaseth Thee by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So our cry would be that You'll bring men and women, young people, children too, to trust Christ and be saved by Your grace. We pray that You'll do that, Father, not just this Sabbath night, but even every night of this incoming week, as the boys and girls are gathered in from this city, as they assemble here in this very church auditorium. Speak to their hearts. You've said of Timothy that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we pray as the children gather, that through the memory verses and the stories and the truths of God's Word that they're taught, that You'll make these little ones and young people wise unto salvation. Bring them faith, bring them to faith in Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Let there be, Father, a harvest of souls from the children of this city in the week that is before us. Hear our cries, go with us now. May we know Your presence as we leave the house of God. And we ask Thee to spread Your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's loved abode our souls arrive in peace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.